sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall. On the seventh Sunday after Epiphany, February 23rd, 2025, entitled, Offer the Other Also. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at christchurchcathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton podcasts on the web, or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, TuneIn Radio, or Podchaser podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Jesus continues his Sermon on the Plain today, extending his teaching about what living in the light of the realm of God means. The Beatitudes we heard last Sunday opened the topic of what an upside-down world looks like. Blessed are those poor, hungry, weeping, and unpopular. The Beatitudes make it necessary to do a double take on the core values of those who follow the way. Jesus further teaches with practical examples that should serve to rouse listeners from the gospel, listeners of the gospel, from a sleepy complacency where we make assumptions about how it's necessary to behave. We live in a world where many face anguish. It's a world full of danger and threat, where many struggle to survive, faced with illness, lack of work or resource, who slide into addiction or are hit with unexpected catastrophic loss. What can make a difference in all of those circumstances is us. But much of the world isn't operating on gospel wisdom right now. Now, I probably need not state the obvious, but I will. At the moment, thanks to the possibility of instant communication, it's possible for rhetoric to shape reality, whether it's based in truth or not. It's not necessary to look to the playground to find an example of a bully. One only needs to look in the direction of the world stage in politics. Citizens gather in crowds to cheer them on, even when the decisions made on their behalf will eventually challenge their own prosperity and maybe even threaten their very survival. And if you're like me, you're standing and asking the question, what's going on? The way the world works is there is ever only one winner. Take for yourself what you want whenever you can. The person with the most toys wins. Competition needs to be ruthless. Never admit defeat, even when it requires a lie. Compassion is a sign of weakness. Revenge is sweet. What goes around comes around. Well, the teaching of Jesus hits back hard. The gospel way is not one based on retribution. Although it's tempting, don't deal with a bully by becoming a bully yourself. Turn the other cheek. When someone asks for your coat, don't even withhold your shirt. Lend and expect nothing in return. Do as you would have others do to you. Love your enemies, Jesus says. The Sermon on the Plain has never been a text to guide ruthless business practice. The snippet from the Genesis saga of Joseph that we read this morning is paired with the gospel today for good reason. If you haven't read the Joseph story lately, it's a good read, and it really rivals any work of fiction you might have on your bedside table. Genesis chapters 37 to about 46. We read it in year 2 of the daily office readings during Lent. This year we're in year 1, so we'll have to wait until next. But we get a little summary this morning. Joseph, the youngest of 12 sons of Jacob, later to be called Israel, was favored by his father. He had various skills, not least of which was being an interpreter of dreams. He was bright and capable, so much so that his brothers were jealous. You might remember that one of his gifts was that interpretation of dreams, and that because of his special gifts, Joseph's father gave him the technicolor dream coat. His brothers dumped him down a well, smeared his coat with blood, and returned it to his father, and Jacob mourned the loss of his son. But merchants drew him from the well and sold him as a slave in Egypt. He became a servant in the house of Pharaoh and eventually rose to a position of management in the highest regard. When famine struck, Joseph's good management had put Egypt in a position where enough food had been stored. Jacob sent his sons to plead with Pharaoh's house for food. And they didn't know him at first, but Joseph knew them. He welcomed them with open arms, and with the rest of his family, Jacob settled in the land of Goshen. Despite the wrong that had been done to him, Joseph saved his own flesh and blood. The underdog Joseph becomes the hero. Now, that's a severely abbreviated version. The point of the story is that when most would expect Joseph to get his revenge, instead, he's learned lessons of generosity and forgiveness. He doesn't just ignore the wrongs done to him, he actually sees his circumstances in a positive light and interprets them to have been sent by God Himself. God puts us where we need to be to fulfill His good purposes in us. Sometimes we can be quick studies, and sometimes it takes a lifetime. What goes around does not necessarily come around. Returning evil for evil just perpetrates more evil. Revenge, or an eye for an eye philosophy, while tempting, serves only the individual dishing it out. What would it mean if everyone first sought to treat others as they wish to be treated? It would be an upside-down world. we would be living in a different realm. What would it mean if the Christ ruled all our hearts? It would be the world for which we pray, Thy kingdom come on earth. The world the way God would have us make it be. Now, of course, there are a couple of theological problems here worth noting, and at the heart of one of those is verse 39. If someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. I hardly think Jesus is suggesting that we should ignore abusive behavior. Those who strike need to know in no uncertain terms that it's unacceptable and that there are consequences. Turning the other cheek may, maybe even should, mean offering the other in defiance. I don't hear Jesus suggesting we should roll over and play dead. In the face of evil, we're called to resistance, not compliance. Second, we need to remember that despite our good intentions, there are plenty of examples from church history when even the preaching of love and grace couldn't overshadow the powers that be, even in the church itself. The church has perpetrated its share of injustice, including the Crusades, anti-Semitism, executions for religious political reasons, blindness to abuse, and even support of the Ku Klux Klan. We do ourselves a disservice when we fail to tell the truth. One commentator of this passage has said that most congregations respond to this passage from Luke in much the same way as her children react to a plate of cooked spinach. Regardless of how the nutritional value is explained, it still somehow doesn't make everyone want to dig in. No one pulls themselves out of bed on a cold Sunday morning and says to themselves, I really need to hear a firm challenge today. I'm really looking forward to how Jesus is going to call me out of my complacency. Even when we know these words are tied to a culture of a different time, that doesn't make these words of Jesus go down any easier. Perhaps we would have been better if he had just left them off the menu. Who can get excited about having to love an enemy? And it's true that congregations fill stadiums to hear sermons on three easy steps to love and five paths to a better life, says Vaughn Crow Tipton. If Jesus had preached either of those sermons on the Mount, Constantine would have been born into a Christian home and baptized as a child, he says. There is a vast difference between what we want and what we need. The words today are not a recipe for self-help, intended to make us feel better, although that's not entirely out of the question. They are rather a recipe for disaster, because the very idea of forgiveness is radical and powerful. It runs against our thinking, our inclinations, our desires, our will. But perhaps that's what drew the psalmist to write, "Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong, for they shall soon wither like the grass." Put your trust in the Lord and do good.
Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit ChristChurchCathedral.com. Send us a message by email at office@ChristChurchCathedral.com or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon at 506-450-8500. We'd be pleased to have you visit.